I don't want to get confused. Good morning.
Good morning.
Do I need the mic?
Yes.
Okay. Hello.
Hi.
It's good to be in this auditorium. I always love to come to Heritage Baptist Church for the seats. So comfortable, just sitting there, it's just kind of like... I hope the PowerPoint and all that would keep your eyes on the screen, not on me. In fact, am I blocking it in any way? No, okay, good. So, just a quick question. How many of you attended the weekly night meetings? Let me raise your hands. All right, I guess everybody has heard the message that I'm presenting this morning. So, any questions? Okay, I have a few extra slides to emphasize on some points. But for those who missed it, we will run through it quickly, and then I'll give the final challenge. So once again, thank you so much for allowing me and my family to be here. Where's my wife? Oh, hi. And I guess our daughter is somewhere. My wife is sick, and I'm enjoying the peace at home. Not many people got the joke, but never mind. She has been busy taking care of my mother-in-law, and who was discharged from the hospital a few nights ago. She had a gallbladder removal surgery, but prior to that, there was a near miss. In other words, we almost lost my mother due to gallbladder infection. So that was 2 months ago, and so the doctor decided, let's just take that thing out, like your appendix. Just take it out and since she's old, and the doctor figured out you don't need that piece of organ. and yesterday, a very, very dear woman, someone very close to our hearts, went home to be with the Lord. Some of you may know the Mayos. The Mayos came to Singapore in 1970 en route to Indonesia, so they came to Singapore Bible Baptist Church for a while, then they went on to serve in Indonesia for many years. Mrs. Ross knows them very well. And then in 1993, SBBC invited Dr. Mayo to come and pastor the work, and that's where the Mayos took me under their wings and trained me and educated me and straightened me out. And so they are very dear and close to us. So Dr. Mayo passed away in June 2010, and we made a trip up there wanting to say bye to him, but he passed away just the night before we were to catch the plane. And then yesterday we received news from the family that Mrs. Mayo has gone home to be with the Lord at the age of 86. Right on the same day, they reported to Indonesia 47 years ago. So it was kind of like a good closure to her ministry on earth. And now both of them are reunited at the feet of Jesus, worshiping Christ, pain-free. So some of you may know them. So for those who do know them, this will be a piece of news. And do continue to pray for the Mayos. The children are taking care of all the funeral arrangement and so on and so forth. But these are the people that we don't forget. These are the missionaries that come, and one day they will go. We have Pastor Crocker, missionary to Singapore, Pastor Eddie and the family to West Papua, and myself in Thailand, and several others. You know, I often ask myself, what kind of legacy will we leave behind? You know, If the whole entire ministry had revolved around me in Thailand, then I'm a total failure. It has to be focused on Christ. Dr. Mayo taught me and often reminded me that you're not there to build an American church. You're not going to Thailand to build a Singaporean church. You're there to build God's church. So I pray, Heritage Baptist Church, in your missions month or missions emphasis week, you will focus on that. You are here to build God's church under godly leadership, under God, the hands of godly people that God will bring into your lives, including yourselves. The spiritual life of a church is not dependent on your pastor. The spiritual life, the lifeline of the church depends on each and every one of us, the church. Right?
Yes.
Okay, good. So we're going to move on to what I taught, or I got to be in front of the mic, right? Anyway, I'll try to behave and stay still, but I'm born in the year of a monkey, so it's going to be tough. Okay, I'm going to continue with what I taught on Thursday. I'm going to repeat some of the points for the sake of those who did not come on Thursday. By the way, I've enjoyed every single night hearing from your pastor, Pastor Eddie E., heard from this great guy called Jason Goh, and then on Saturday itself, you had an amazing group of young people. I enjoyed them. It's great to feel young again. I mean, no. It's great to feel young. Not again. Okay, so, local church, global mission. See, I changed.
Thank you.
On Thursday, I wrote local church, global vision. All right? Like what I say in Thailand, it's same but different. So local church, global mission, program or command. So I'm going to go pretty quickly over the points. So we considered three questions. First question. Oh, okay. That screen is not working. Are you a Christian or a follower of Christ? Is local church, global mission, a church program, or a biblical command? Should our approach to world evangelism be mission-minded or missional? Now, if any of this thing is not appearing on the screen, raise your hand, because that screen is not working, and so I don't know what is going on behind me, okay? Thank God for technology. So, and we look at a couple of verses. Acts 4:13 says, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. Talking about Peter and John and the disciples. Peter and John in particular, because they have just performed a miracle, healing a lame man. And then because of their boldness, they were arrested by the religious leaders. And while they were standing before the religious leaders, you know, they exhibit knowledge, wisdom that only God could have revealed to them. That's why the religious leaders made this comment, made this observation. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. So if you are a Christian, people may not notice, but if that you are a Christian, because you're just practicing a religion. But if you are a follower of Christ, you will do any and everything to show Christ, just as Peter and John did. People will take knowledge of us that we have been with Jesus. How many of you have actually had people come up to you and ask you, are you a Christian? You don't have to raise your hand, you just have to ask yourself, are you a Christian? In a very amazing tone, rather than a doubtful tone. You Christian? But it's rather that you're Christian, right? See the difference in tone? Okay, I hope it's the latter one, alright? Back. And if you use your Bible program, you will realize that the word, if you do a search on the word Christian or Christians, it's only found three times in the New Testament. And this is based on King James Version. The word follower or followers, disciple or disciples, are found over 260 times. So the emphasis is on following Christ, being a follower of Christ. Ravi Zacharias, a very renowned Christian apologist, made this statement when he was asked, is there a question that he struggled with? And this is Ravi Zacharias' response. If there is one apologetic struggle I live with, it is this question. Why is it that so many people who talk of a supernatural transformation show so little of transformed life? Think about that. Next. And we look at Luke chapter 6 verse 46. Why call ye me Lord, Lord? You're looking at me in a daze. It's like, what are you talking about? And I realized it's not on the screen. And why call you me Lord? Ta-da! Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Greg Pritchard, in his article, A Global Vision of the Gospel, said, somewhere along the way of teaching the simple gospel, gospel is very simple, right? Jesus saves. We are saved by grace. We, unfortunately, have created a cheap grace where being Jesus' disciple is optional. We have heard the message of deliverance. We are great. We are happy about it. We view it as something that has helped solve our problem. But we forget and ignore the person who provided the problem. I've provided the solution. And that's Jesus Christ. We completely ignore Him. But we are disciples of Christ. Christians have allowed the categories and priorities of our modern lifestyle and value system to infiltrate our thinking. I'm going very fast because we have covered that on Thursday. So instead of allowing the external to affect and influence our internal being, which has been transformed by the grace of God, we should, according to Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable perfect will of God. It's not about you, it's all about Jesus, it's all about Christ. If I may present this chart or this diagram to you, so before we are unsaved, we live in the world, in our old self, the old man, okay? And then we are transformed. We become saved by the grace of God, but we still live in this world, right? But as a new person in Christ, you notice the change of shape? Triangle, just to depict the Trinity, alright? Christ in us. So we are no longer a circle. We are now a triangle. We don't fit in. But we still have the old man, this body. So we kind of go back and forth, struggle with this transformation and all this. But the truth of the matter is, we are a new creature. God, yesterday when I was talking to the young people, saying that we now have a new spiritual DNA. I gave the example that I can speak in Thai, I eat Thai, I can eat spicy food better than some Thais. I can scold them in Thai, I can do all kinds of things in Thai. I can read legal documents, I can write, I can deal, I can bargain, everything in Thai. But am I Thai? No. I gotta be, if God allow, be born of a Thai woman with the Thai woman's DNA and come out as a Thai or half Thai or whatever, right? But I would have a Thai DNA and then I could therefore be a Thai. Qualified to be a Thai. Same thing, you have gone through that. As a child of God, as a follower of Christ, you have been given, you have been transformed. You are a new creature in Christ. You have been given the spiritual DNA by God. So we often hear the phrase, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. So hold your thought there, bookmark that in your mind. We are in, but not of this world. You have heard sermons, we have talked about it, but today we're going to take that to one notch higher. And I'll tell you later. Is local church global vision, a mission, a church program, or biblical command? There are many verses that tells us about it being a global mission. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, Matthew 28, Mark 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So it's the mandate is very, very clear. Take it to all parts of the world. Acts 1:8. We are to be witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Acts 2:5, men are of every nation, and then we have the diaspora, etc., etc. All these verses remind us, and it should be sealed in our mind that it's got to be global through the effort of the local church. Now, I found something on the internet which I thought would help us have a clearer picture. It's taken from the website of First Baptist Church of Temple Terrace in Florida. Okay, that's a website. So, basically, on the red circle, that's you. All of us has been given gifts and talents by God. Agree? Okay? Then you have in the gray circle, you have the local church. So as they intersect, God's going to use the God-given talents and gifts that He has given to you to serve in the local church. But there's another portion, the needs of the world. So when you are able to discover the triadic intersection, or he calls that the sweet spot, then you are able to experience and understand your purpose and your precision in the local church in that global mission through the local church. You see how they are trying to present this? And then we talk about, should our approach to world evangelism be mission-minded or missional? And I presented this chart or this table. Mission-minded church emphasizes on the sending and supporting its representative. It's just part of a program or one of the program of the church, perceives missions as one expression of its ministry. While missional church emphasizes on the being and doing, your participative, perceives missions as the essence of its existence. This might help you understand better. The consumer church. Church is seen as a dispenser of religious goods and services. People come to the church to be fed, to have their needs met through quality programs, and to have the professionals teach their children about God. In other words, I go to church. Can you relate to that? Can we relate to that? Okay, good. Now this is different from, and I hope we can transition from, a consumer church to a missional church. A body of people assemble or sent on a mission who gather in community for worship, like what we are doing now, for community encouragement, for the teaching from the Word of God, in addition to what they are self-feeding themselves through the week. You see a difference now? between the mission-minded and the missional, or the consumer church and the missional church. In other words, transition from I go to church to I am the church. You see a difference here? So how does this fit into the missions program? Remember early on I said, the statement, we are in but not of this world. Remember that? Hello? Okay, Sunday school. Okay, it's not morning service. You are welcome to talk to me. So get back to the theme on local church global mission. John chapter 17 verse 14 to 18 tells us, I have given them, let's read together before you go to sleep. Okay, ready? One, two, go.
I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them with thy truth, thy word is true. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world.
Thank you. The old man, before you are saved by the grace of God, Jesus come into your life, you become a new person in Christ. While we are still in the world, and all those tiny polka dots are symbols of sinners before they are saved by grace. Jesus said, I sent you into the world. So in other words, instead of just thinking that, oh, we are in this world, not of this world, so that still have kind of sort of a negative connotation. Oh, we're still in this world, poor us, you know, when am I going to go to heaven? You're still struggling and all this and that. But now Jesus is saying, notice what Jesus said, I pray not that you take them out of this world, but I'm going to send them into this world, even though they are not of this world. So it's not that you have to struggle all your life. When you are being sent by God, when you start thinking about it, that God has sent you into the world, that means He has a purpose for you. Rather than you're just in the world, you're still struggling with what am I doing here. But now, when you reread this verse, saying and Jesus said, "I send you into the world," a new person in Christ now function differently in this wicked world. We are not off, but sent into this world. Come back. Just to help you review. Did you read that statement just now? We are not off, but sent into the world. So, remember the sweet spot, the diagram with the sweet spot? So you identify, you pray, and ask God to help you identify your function in the church. The gift that He has, the gifts and talents, the skills that He has given to you for the edification of the church. So some of you are good in preaching, some of you are good in evangelism, some of you are good in accounting, administration, song leading, singing, whatsoever that God has given to you. You find your place in the church. In the church. That's why coming to church is so important. It's kind of hard to worship God at home with yourself, serving yourself. That makes sense, right? But you come to church, you serve one another, you edify one another, you help one another for the edification of the local church for this purpose, so that you can find your place to fulfill the mandate and the commission that God has given to you as a local church to serve the needs of the world. So think of global vision. And if I may show you this chart, so we are looking at the world map, right? So if you look at missions program, you kind of will just look at this map and that's it, right? And you think of, oh, Pastor Eddie is somewhere around here, right? Okay. Jason is kind of right here. Somebody is kind of right here, Fiji. You know, it's kind of like, because these are the people that you support. So when you look at a world map and you think mission, these are the faces that come into mind, right? Do you kind of like feel that you are part of it? Seriously? Do you? I've given my $50 a month, so I'm kind of done, right? But when you look at the map again, every time you walk to Heritage Activity Center and you walk through the reception area, and then you see the world map, and that's all you see, faces. But how do you really see yourself in it? So if you think of that three circles that intersect and find that sweet spot, pray that God will help you find that sweet spot, then you can see yourself, whoa, I can play a part in this. Because you're now actively serving, you're actively being involved, because you're thinking, God, how do I fit into all this? No longer thinking of missions as a program, but as something that you are involved in. I'll take you to the next level. So how do you see yourself in the light of the following? Your life, education, spouse, career, housing, car, first world problem. What do I eat for dinner? There's so many choices. You come to our village, there are three restaurants that I can think of for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I'm kidding, but we have a lot of restaurants, but they are limited choices, okay? And but the thing is, we don't have to struggle with traffic. There's no traffic light. And we struggle with education as a missionary. There's no good school. The closest decent international school was about 3 hours away from where we are and would have cost us at least $10,000 a year to put Hannah in it, okay? If you go to a Christian school which is in Chiang Mai, that's like, you know, two flights away. They're cheaper, but they're still a few thousand dollars. And I still have to be separated from Hannah and Polai. So homeschool, according to Polai, after she prayed about it, it just wouldn't work. So we have to think about that. So it's I don't want you to think of it as a problem that only missionary face. We all go through that. My nephew has just gone on to secondary one. So I got to see how my sister had to deal with him and the stress that they have to go through. We're in Singapore, okay? If you don't go to a good school, or if your child don't make good grades in your primary six, you are almost doomed, right? Almost. So you have to worry about that spouse. You know, you think about what kind of woman or what kind of husband. And so I just watched a video yesterday. It was kind of funny, but we don't have time. About, you know, how a fresh graduate in Singapore struggled to be a good boyfriend. Okay? And and then the amount of money he has to invest in, even though he's got $3,000 salary, you know, but after CPF deduction, he's only down to 2,004, and he has to pay for this and that, and he's got to impress his girlfriend and save for HDB, but found out that he has not enough money to save up for HDB, and blah blah blah. Welcome to Singapore. So, I mean, the list can go on, but since we're at the missions conference, let's get down to some specific. The way you handle your finance. How do we budget? I'm no expert, but this is how I was taught. As I live a transformed life, the Word of God through the preaching of the Gospel, Sunday school, reading the Scriptures myself, it's like, put God first. Right? So, what are the things that I should do to put God first? Well, I'm part of the local church. So the local church, we got the general offerings, we got the building fund, we got, what else? Yeah, missions fund, of course, missions fund, and special offerings and stuff like that, right? So when I got my first pay, I was like, okay, I'm going to give my 10% and my building fund and my missions fund, and you know, just a little bit more for in case there's special offering, and then let's talk about what I need to survive. That's how I did it to today. Okay? So, because I thought, I told you I'm kind of simple in my thinking. It's like, put God first. So that's putting God first. The way you bring up your child. 9 years ago, I would not be qualified to talk about this. And then in 2008, the Lord just decided to surprise us. Okay? And there goes my 15 years of honeymoon. This creature just appeared before me. And I was like, okay, what do I do with you? And the Lord said, bring her up in the ways of God. Okay, I'll try my best to do that. So, we would always talk about Hannah, my wife and I. Till today, we have never thought about what she should be in terms of career, in terms of whatever. It's always about how God, how real is God in your life, Hannah? Every morning before she enters the school gate, we pray and ask God to be real in her life. She has made a profession of faith 3 times. Okay? 2 years old, 4 years old, and 7 years old. I still doubt her salvation. Okay? So, every morning when she enters the school gate, we pray and pray that God will be real in her life. Before she goes to sleep, we pray with her. May God be real in her life. And we try to encourage her. If she flunks, thank God she hasn't flunked any subjects yet. But if she doesn't do well, or didn't do well in some, because of her silly mistakes, callous mistakes and all this and that, it's always pointing her to God, showing her, see, how sin can, you know, take us one step back. But it's not the end. You know, just using every single, oh, by the way, we were so happy. Now, you have to understand, she grew up in Thailand for the first 7 years of her life. And she's known as the director's daughter. Because I run a center, a foundation, or the pastor's daughter, right? So I got like 200-300 kids in our center. Even though I told the teachers, if she misbehaves, cane her, slap her, pinch her, I don't care what you do, she needs to be disciplined. Okay? And none of the teachers do that. They don't listen to me. So, And when Hannah walks into the hall, I mean, everybody will make way for her. It's like, come, 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 you know. I was like, oh, don't do that. And nobody dares to bully her. So anyway, when she came back to Singapore and went into the school system, came back one day, didn't want to talk, didn't want to eat. We knew something happened, so we asked her and probed, and finally she told us an incident, and we realized that she got bullied. And my wife and I looked at each other and said, "Praise the Lord, she got bullied." You know, and then we use that as a life lesson, teaching her how to depend on God and so on and so forth. So far everything has been easy. Okay? My wife will probably disagree with me. But those of you who has teenage daughters or sons, you'll probably say, "Wait till she become a teenager." Well, one step at a time, please. Don't scare me yet. One day at a time, okay? So we don't know what Hannah's going to be. But we pray that we're going to help her. Now, as a parent, it's our desire that our child become successful. Right? Amen. Amen. Okay, good. As a Chinese, I've kept all the bills, of the hospitalization bills, the consultation fees, and all this that my wife went through in her pregnancy, okay, as evidence, so that when Hannah finds a boy that she likes, and that boy wants to marry my daughter, I'm going to take all that out. Plus compound interest. I hope she finds a boy quickly. If not, the boy is going to say, "Man, that compound interest alone is going to kill me." And I'm asked for a dowry. Okay? Hey, I got to recoup my investment. So, you're laughing, but that's a good idea, right? So, in their growing up years, I pray that I'll be able to tell my daughter, "Hannah, I will want you to serve God." Don't talk about what college and all this. Give your life to God first. Serve God first. You mean in the church? I don't care. Church, mission field, serve God first. Can she serve God in a financial institute, a bank? Of course she can. As a missionary in the financial sector. Can she work in the hawker center as someone who picks up plate, clean up tables? I don't care. So long she's a missionary in the hawker center. A child of God has got to put God first. As a parent who's a child of God, got to teach our child, our future generation, to put God first as they grow up. Career discussion, career selection, career choices should be secondary. Serving God, helping them to think, serve God first, should come as first priority. Why? We are sent into the world. The way you dedicate your lives to God. Let's read this verse together and we will close very quickly. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, and he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." We are not of the world. The desires, good career, good housing, condominiums are shooting up from everywhere in the old estate. It's enticing. Nice cars. I mean, you go down the line. These are the conversations that I hear over and over again from the volunteers that come to volunteer in our center. in our ministry in Thailand. I sit down with them, talk to them, and these are the conversations that keep coming up. We are not of this world. Remember the triangle? We are no longer a circle to try to fit into the philosophy, the tradition, the trend of this world. We are now a different shape. We don't fit. But because we are sent into the world to be a purpose. As I close, your pastor and Pastor Eddie E., Pastor Crocker and Pastor Eddie is probably going to touch on faith promise. You bet. What's the first thing that comes into your mind when you see the word faith promise? God, help me know how much to give. And that's a good prayer. Okay? But I challenge you, as I mentioned, put God first. So don't look at your budget yet. Because when you look at it, you will try to find a place, adjust some figures, especially the faith promise part, to see how you can maintain a certain lifestyle. You got debt to pay. You got certain expenses to support the lifestyle, to sustain the lifestyle. Okay, that is your old budget. But you are now a new creation in Christ. Look at a new budget. Open it up. Start from scratch. God, how much should I give to you? Don't even look at your income yet. God, how much do you want me to give to you? Put down a figure, pray about it. If you look at those notes, it's $600 per week. No, I'm kidding. Money comes to mind. Money helps finance God's work. But faith promise is not about money. It's a program. We understand that. But I think there's enough verses, but I can think of one verse about faith promise. Faith promise is not about money. Faith promise it's about this. Faith promise yourself. Why were the churches in Macedonia able to help and contribute to Paul's ministry? I mean, the earlier verses, Paul talks about how generous they were. They gave beyond themselves, beyond their poverty. They were so generous. This they did, not as we hope or they asked for it, but they first gave themselves. Faith. So faith promise, first of all, faith promise giving yourself first to the Lord and unto us. And I believe Paul was saying our ministry. The ministry that God has given to us. So, as I close, going back to that diagram of you're now sent into the world. You're no longer part of this world. You're different. Okay? You're different. Stop saying, but this is how the world functions. Of course that's how the world functions. But you're not of this world. You have been recreated, given your new person in Christ, sent into the world to accomplish God's purpose to the local church for the global mission. Pastor?